Rav Helpgott, of course, is the rabbi of Netivot HaShalom in Teaneck, New Jersey. He's a wonderful educator. He's taught in many, many places. He's teaching at SAR. He's taught at Drisha, at YCT, Yeshiva Chovei Beit Torah. He's a prolific author and writer, really one of the top educators in North America, and it's a pleasure to have him this evening and next week. And Bakasha Nadi, we'll let you take it over. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. I'll also record it. Okay. I just sent a request for those who want to the host if they, to record it as well. And let me see if I can record it on my telephone as well, just in case something happens.
It should be recording automatically, but yeah, if you want to have a backup, fine.
Just we'll do backup. Whatever. Let me see if I can figure this out. Okay. Say there. Okay. Okay. Erev Tov to everybody. I hope everyone is well in these very trying circumstances and difficult circumstances. I want to thank Jay. Jay asked me to give a shiur and been on Zoom most of the day, but teaching. But it's always a pleasure to deliver a shiur for Torah in Motion, which is very dear to my heart. So I wanted to, tonight and next week to really look at parts of the beginning of the redemption, so to speak, the beginning of the enslavement, which will ultimately lead to the redemption of Am Yisrael in Sefer Shmot. I wanted to look carefully at parts of Perek Aleph of Sefer Shmot and develop a couple of ideas that I think are very central that are emerging from the beginning of Sefer Shmot. So, of course, we recognize that Sefer Shmot is intimately connected to the end of Sefer Bereshit. It's intimately connected to the end of the book of Genesis. While the book of Genesis moved in the first 11 chapters from a universal focus, chapter 1 through 11, which take us through the creation narrative, the narrative of the flood, the recreation of the world, and all those narratives. If once we leave chapter 11, we enter into the world of the mishpacha, of the family, of the clan, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which eventually become the family, what we know as Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. And if we look at the end, if we look in Sefer Bereshit, it's always good to have a Tanakh with you and a Tanakh shir. So if you have a Tanakh with you, please open up. It's take 10 seconds to get your Tanakh. If you look in Perek Memvav, the Torah tells us that Jacob is ready when he finds out that Joseph is alive, that his beloved son, the son of Rachel, his beloved wife, is still alive. So the Chumash tells us in chapter 46, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo v'yavo bei rashava v'yomer Elohim l'Yisrael b'marot ha'alev v'yomer Yaakov, Yaakov, v'yomer hineini. So he says, Yaakov, Yaakov, hineini, which echoes, of course, the Akedah of Avraham, hineini. And God promises him, Anochi Elohei avich al tira mi erda mitzrayma ki l'goy gadol asim chasham. I'm going to make you a great nation there. So all the elements that we have, we're going to go down to Egypt. God is going to take us out of Egypt. God is going to make us a great nation. And Joseph will protect us. And at that point, we have Pasuk Chet. Ve'ele shmot b'nei Yisrael ha'ba'im mitzrayma. Yaakov uvanav b'chor Yaakov ru'uvein. So it's interesting that the Bible tells us Ve'ela shmot b'nei Yisrael. And these are the children of Israel. These are the children of Israel. Israel meaning Yaakov. We're still a clan of 70 souls, maybe a little bit more. Not getting into the details of whether the numbers work out exactly in terms of the 70 here in Perek Memvav. But you have here a list of the 70 souls going down. And if you look at the beginning of Sefer Shmot, keep one hand at the end of Sefer Bereshit, and you have one hand at the end of Sefer Shmot, it starts the same way as chapter 46, verse 8. Ve'ela shmot B'nei Yisrael haba'im mitzrayma. Et Yaakov ish ubeito ba'u. So you have basically a repetition of the end of, say, of Perek Mem Vav. Basically, it's a bridge pasuk. It's actually bridging between the clan and the beginning of Sefer Shmot. In fact, the Ramban actually claims that this pasuk is actually cut and paste from Perek Mem Vav. It's actually not a new pasuk. It's almost as if we are picking up where we left off. After chapter 47, 48, 49, which is the story of the Jewish people in Egypt and their growing wealth and their success and Yosef, and then unfortunately the recognition that the future is not in Egypt and Yaakov teaching Joseph that the future is not in Egypt, etc., etc. We have now, we pick up where we left off. They went down to Egypt. Now it's time to experience whatever's going to happen in Egypt and ultimately to leave. So at one, on one level, we're picking up exactly where we left off. But there's a subtle thing that's going on here, and two subtle things which I think are important to note. Number one, in verse one of Sefer Shmot, Ve'ela Shmot B'nei Yisrael, and these are the children of Israel. The word Israel there, especially if you take the Ramban, that this is an exact copy of Perek Mem Vav in Sefer Bereshit, means the children of Jacob. But by the end of these verses, of this first section of chapter 1, in verse 7, Uvnei Yisrael paruva yishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'mod ma'od v'timalei aretz otam. By the end of that section, the word Yisrael no longer means a clan. The word Yisrael is a reference to the nation of Israel. This is the first time. This is the transition. We're moving from B'nai Yisrael as a clan, as a mishpacha, to B'nai Yisrael as an am, to B'nai Yisrael as a people. This is the beginning of the fulfillment of what was said to Jacob, L'goy gadol asim chasham. Number two, and that's why, picking up on that, look at verse 8 in Sefer Shmot. Vayaka melech hadash al Mitzrayim, asher lo yada et Yosef, vayomer el amo, hinei am b'nei Yisrael rav ve'atzum mimenu. This is the first time that the Jewish people are called an am in the entire Torah. For the first time, we are now called an am, we're recognized as an am. It's not just an aspiration that we will be an am, but for the first time, there's a recognition on the ground by, unfortunately here, the anti-Semite, by Paro, that we in fact are an am, we are a people. So we've made that transition. That's number one. Number two, the second thing that I want to mention is, even though it's clear that on one level, the Torah is echoing back and bridging back to Sefer Bereshit and Perek Mem Vav with the phrase Ve'ela Shmot B'nei Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayma, it seems that there's also an echo of another passage in Sefer Bereshit. Because let's look carefully at the listing of the tribes back in Perek Mem Vav. If you look back in Bereshit Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Chet, Ve'ela Shmot B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, Yaakov Anav, B'chor Yaakov Reuven. First of all, he's still called B'chor Yaakov there because he has not yet been deposed. Yaakov deposes Reuven as the B'chor in the Brachot of chapter 48 in Parshat Vayechi. That hasn't happened yet. So he's still B'chor Reuven. But notice the order, the strategic order of the presentation of the people, of the children. We start with Pasuk Tet. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. And as the Bible summarizes, Eile b'nei Le'ah, asher yaldal Yaakov b'fadan Aram, ve'et dina bito kol nefesh banav u'vnotav shloshim v'shalosh. So the Bible presents first the b'nei Le'ah. Then it continues, Uvnei Gad, etc., Uvnei Asher. These are the children of the concubine of Leah, the children of Zilpah. Then we have After that, we have B'nai Rachel, verse 19, Eshet Yaakov, Yosef, Ubin Yamin. So you have here, you have B'nai Leah, B'nai Zilpah, the children of Leah, the children of the concubine of Leah, the children of Rachel, and at the end we have the children of the concubine of Rachel. After that, after B'nai Binyamin, B'nai Rachel, and then at the end in verse 24 and 25, Uvenei Naphtali, Uvenei Dan, Uvenei Naphtali, 23 and 24, Ela B'nai Bilha. So chapter 46 is structured not chronologically exactly how the children were born, if you go back to Parshat Vayetze, but conceptually. Leah, Shifcha Leah, the concubine of Leah, Rachel, the concubine of Rachel. If you look carefully at the beginning of chapter 1 of Shmot, you have a slightly different structure in how it's presented. If you look in Shmot Perek Aleph, Ve'ela Shmot b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim et Yaakov ishu v'itobau. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, v'Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. So you have the b'nei Leah. You have the six b'nei Leah. Dina is not mentioned. Then you have Binyamin, b'nei Rachel. Yosef is not mentioned because he's already down in Egypt. Then you have the concubine of Rachel, Dan v'Naphtali. Then you have the concubine of Leah, Gad ve'Asher. What you have is what we like to call in fancy literary studies of Tanakh, a chiastic structure. You start with Leah, A. You continue with Rachel. You continue with the Shifcha of Rachel and her children. And you end up with the Shifcha of Leah. So it's A, B, B1, A1. Leah, Rachel, Rachel, Leah. So it's a little bit of a different structure than Shmot, Perek Mem Vav. And the question is why? Why is it a little bit different? And the answer, I believe, as many, some have noted, is because in addition to echoing Perek Mem Vav, there's also another echo. There's an echo of a promise to Yaakov Avinu. There's a promise to Yaakov Avinu, which goes back to chapter 35. If you remember, if everyone turns to Perek Lamed Hei in Sefer Bereshit, when Yaakov returns to Eretz Yisrael and he's confronted with the dilemma of encountering Esav and the tragedy of the rape of Dinah, and at the end of everything, when he emerges from that, ready to begin his life and settled back in Eretz Yisrael, and God says to him, he's going to give him the covenantal blessing. His name has been changed by the nocturnal anonymous person, whoever he was. And in Pasuk Tet, Perek Lamed Hey, it says, Vayar Elohim El Yaakov, excuse me, Vayera Elohim El Yaakov, Od Bevo Mipadanaram Vayvarechoto. Vayomer Lo Elohim, Shimcha Yaakov Lo Ikare Shimcha Od Yaakov. He has a name change directly from God, just like with Avraham. He's now receiving the Birkat Avraham. Vayomer lo Elohim, Ani El Shaddai, Prey Urve, Goy Ukahal Goyim Yamimeka, Umelachim Mechalatzecha Yetzeu. Ve'eta Aretz, Ashenatati Lavram Litzchak Lecha Etnena, Ulazaracha Charecha Atenet Aretz. This is the covenantal blessing. I wish we all had three hands, but we don't. So keep one hand here. Turn back for a second to the end of Perek Yod Zion, to the end of Perek Yod Zion, which is where Abraham received the covenantal blessing of Eretz Yisrael, where he received the covenantal blessing of Eretz Yisrael with Brit Milah, when he received Brit Milah. And it's the same exact language. God appears to Abraham, and he says in chapter 17, verse 8:5, V'lo yikare odet shimcha Avraham, v'yash shimcha Avraham, ki av hamon goyim netaticha, v'ifreiti otcha b'mod ma'od, unetaticha legoyim, umelachim mimcha yetzeyu. V'natati lezaracha, lach acharecha et eretz megurecha, et kol eretz kenan lachuzat olam. So notice the same pattern. Name change, the blessing of Pru Urvu, the blessing of entering into covenant and receiving the land of Israel, Lachuzat Olam. This is what Yaakov experiences here. Yaakov gets the covenantal blessing here in the beginning. In Perek Lamed Hey. He says, Hashem says, Lo yikare od shimcha Yaakov kim Yisrael yashmecha, v'yikare shmo Yisrael. He's now called Yisrael, which will become Bnei Yisrael. And he receives the covenantal blessing. Ani El Shaddai pray urvei goy kol goyim yemi mecha, umelachim imcha yitzil, that the arts natat el ram, lecha etnena ulezarecha. So now, turn at the end of this passage. After he receives this passage, and Rachel dies, and Yaakov is now going to be the father, ready to pass on the covenantal blessing. Notice how this chapter ends. It ends with a recap of the children. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayu, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayu v'nei Yaakov shneim asar. And the children of Jacob were 12. Notice the order. B'nei Le'ah B'chor Yaakov Reuven. So Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, Zvulun. Leah children. B'nei Rachel, Yosef uBinyamin. The Rachel children. U'b'nei Bilha, Shivchat Rachel, Dan v'Naftali. U'b'nei Zilpa, Shivchat Leah, Gad v'Asher. Eile b'nei Yaakov asher yulad lo b'padan aram. You have here the chiastic structure. Leah, Rachel, concubine of Rachel, concubine of Leah. A, B, B1, A1. And so Shmot, Perek Aleph, echoes Perek Mem Vav, yes, for sure. But it also echoes Perek Lamed Hey. It echoes the fact that that's when the name change became Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael become B'nai Yisrael. And now they are moving from being the clan to the people that's going to fulfill the covenantal destiny that was promised to Yaakov Avinu. And I want to add, let's understand very well that Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the leader of the Jewish people, he's not one of the Avot, because he's now the leader of the Jewish people, but Moshe Rabbeinu is also presented to echo that he is picking up on where Yaakov left off. If you turn to chapter 3 in Sefer Shmot, if everybody turns to chapter 3 in Sefer Shmot, Perek Gimel in Sefer Shmot, you turn to Perek Gimel in Sefer Shmot. So when Hashem appears to Moshe for the first time, after Moshe shows curiosity about the snare. So Pasuk Dalu, Vayar Adonai Kisar Lirot, Vayikra Elav Elohim Mitoch Asneh, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineini. Exactly the same language that God used in relate with Yaakov Avinu before he went down to Egypt, and he was promised that they would go down to Egypt and they would emerge from Egypt as an Am. Here too, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineini. It's a covenantal moment. And God says in Pasuk Vav, Anochi Elohei Avicha, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Ra'o Ra'iti, etc. And I'm going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Look at verse 8. Va'ered lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim, ulahaloto min ha'aretz ahi, el eretz tova urechava, el eretz zavat chalav udvash. If I'm not mistaken, but maybe somebody can check me quickly on a concordance on your phone or something, I believe this is the only place in the Torah where the Torah calls Eretz Yisrael not only Eretz Tova, but Eretz Rechava. It's also a wide land. Now, you know, from geopolitics, we know that Eretz Yisrael is not so wide, right? That's always the argument about how in the Shtachim, in Yehuda and Shomron, it's very narrow in terms of Eretz Yisrael. But the Torah calls here in the covenantal blessing to Moshe, the Torah says that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Tova Urechava. Now, why is it Rechava? So if I'm not mistaken, I heard once from my dear friend and colleague and mentor and teacher, Rabbi David Silber, that it's called Eretz Tova Rechava here for the first time and maybe the only time, because the Jewish people are here in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, of course, comes from the word tsar, from the word meitzar in biblical Hebrew, in the narrow straits, in the straits, in the meitzar. And Eretz Yisrael, and the experience of the Jewish people was in a place of meitzarim. It was very narrow. Part of it may have to do with the fact that the Egyptians lived all around the Nile Delta. Okay, without, but it conceptually, Mitzrayim is the place of meitzarim, of narrowness. And the Jewish people were going to be taken out to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Tova Urechava. And that's why here it's used at that term. So Moshe Rabbeinu was fulfilling that destiny. So now we come back to the beginning of Sefer Shmot. We come back and we are now moving from the Mishpacha to the Am. And I want to go a step further. We continue reading in Pasuk Hei, Vayhi kol nefesh yotzei yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh, v'yosef haya b'mitzrayim, v'yamat yosef v'chol echav v'chol ador ahu. That entire generation died out. Uvnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'od me'od v'timalei ha'aretz otam. So the Bible uses a lot of verbs here. Paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'me'od me'od. A lot of verbs. Now, anyone who knows Midrash or knows the workings of Midrash, the rabbis were very, very attuned with their rabbinic antenna, the rabbinic antenna to the repetition of words. And they were always, especially when it comes to verbs, the rabbis were very attuned. I'm sure many of us remember when we learned in school or when we remember the Rashi, when Jacob sold the Bechorah, I'm sorry, when Esav sold the Bechorah for the Nezid Adashim, for the pot of lentils. So the Bible tells us there in rapid succession, Vayakam, Vayochal, Vayesht, Vayivez, Esav et HaBechorah. And if you remember your Rashis, Rashi quoting the Midrash says that on each one of the words, Chazal identified that, oh, he did this Aveira, he did that Aveira, he did this. Again, the rabbis were very attuned. What's called in fancy schmancy literary studies, omni significance of every word and the hyper significance of every word. Here too, there are many midrashim that were very struck by the repetition of the verbs here. Vayish paru, vayishritzu, vayirbu, vayitzu, and in fact, the rabbis counted six phrases here. Paru, vayishritzu, vayirbu, vayatzmu. They counted the word ma'od as a phrase. Vatimalei ha'aretz otam. And so that leads to the amazing rabbinic imagination, which claims that the six verbs here are reflecting the fact that there was a miraculous growth in population of the Jewish people. And how did that miraculous growth happen? That each woman had six children. Each woman had six children every time she gave birth, six tuplets, every time she gave birth. And some midrashim go even further because they see it as a double. The minimum of paru is two, yishritzu is two, yirbu is two, yatzmu is two, bimaod maod is two, vatimalei haaretz otam. So since the other ones are two, this is also two. And so if you look in the Midrashim, every Jewish woman had 12 children at once, which of course is an amazing Midrashic reading, sensitive to the language. If we don't want to go, and again, parenthetically, as I always mention, I'm not getting into the question of, I'm from the school of the Gaonim and the Maimonidean school, that not every Midrash, Agadah, should be taken literally. But as a teacher of mine once said, every Midrash Agadah should be taken seriously. Not everything has to be taken literally, but it has to be taken seriously. And the way I take it seriously is the Midrash here is addressing the anomaly in the text, and it's addressing the rapid growth of the Jewish people. But if we hone in on this Midrashic insight and focus in from a Pshat perspective, something very beautiful is going on in this verse. It's very clear, this verse, just as we had in the blessings to Jacob and in the blessing to Avraham in Brit Milah, and the blessing that Yitzchak passes on to Yaakov when he knows he's Yaakov, meaning not when he thinks he's Esav, but at the end when he's about to run away and he knows he's already Yaakov. The language here is the language of creation. There are seven phrases here. Paru, vayishritzu, vayirbu, vayatzmu, mimod, maod, vatimalei haaretz otam. Anyone who's sensitive to biblical language hears in this verse, paru, vayirbu, maod, vatimalei. You hear the echo of pru urvu, umilu et haaretz. You have seven phrases here, which of course reflect creation. It's not by chance that it's in the seventh verse of this first perek. Pru urvu umilu. And if you'll say to me, yeah, but the language of vayishritzu is not used by creation of human beings. It's only used by the creation of animals. No. Incorrect. Take a look back at chapter 9 of Sefer Bereshit. Because the world that we inhabit is not the world of Genesis 1. It's not of Adam 1, and it's not even of Adam 2. We inhabit the world of Genesis 9. We inhabit a world after the flood. We're post-diluvians. And if you look at chapter 9 in Sefer Bereshit, the Bible says when Noah came out of the ark with his family and started to start the world again. So the Bible says, Vayivarech Elohim et Noach ve'et banav ve'yomer lahem, pru urvu milu et ha'aretz. He gives them the same blessing of creation, but then he comes back to it in verse 7. Again, he's closing the circle. Seven is creation. Shivat Yamim, the 7 days of creation. And there he says, Ve'atem pru urvu shirtzu va'aretz urvuba. So the language of lishrotz is also used biblically regarding human beings. It's also used regarding human beings. So when we have here in the beginning of Sefer Shmot, Pru Urvu, Uvnei Yisrael Paru, Vayishritzu, Vayirbu, Vayatzmu, that's all creation language. Even Vayatzmu is creation language. It's the language of when the woman is created from the limb of the man, and the human being, and the man says, Hine etzem me'atzamai ubasar mibsari. Vayatzmu comes from the language of atzamot. Atzamot ayiveshot, the atzamot that come to life. The ma'od ma'od is a language of creation. Vihine tov ma'od. And vatimalei ha'aretz otam is pru urvu umilu et ha'aretz. And so what the Bible is conveying to us is that the creation of Am Yisrael, the creation of the people, is a microcosm of the creation of the macrocosm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world at the beginning of Sefer Bereshit. He tried to create a universal model. Unfortunately, Adam and Chava sinned, and that didn't work. He tried with the subsequent generations. That also didn't work. The Mabul comes and wipes away the world. The universal attempt, again, this is the reading of the Sforno and others, is now God goes to quote-unquote plan B, if you want to suggest it, where God decides to concentrate on a people. He starts with a clan in chapter 12, beginning with Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, which now is going to flourish into a people. And so the beginning of Sefer Shmot begins in the same way, in a certain way, as Sefer Bereshit. You have the echoes of creation. The microcosm is picking up on the destiny of the macrocosm and this long and winding road, which is going to eventually lead to hopefully the whole world recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begins with the creation of this people that is going to bring revelation into the world and is going to be recognized, hopefully, is going to bring a message to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of what Hashem said, Derech Hashem, what he taught Avraham in Sefer Bereshit. And so here we have the beginning. And unfortunately, we have, if we continue, unfortunately, into the second half of the story of the Perek, Vayakam Melech Chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yadayet Yosef, which of course is a tragedy, the tragedy of lo yadayet Yosef, of not knowing. One of the key milim manchot, one of the key phrases that you're going to see over and over and over again in the biblical narrative of the Exodus story is going to be the language of yidi'ah, of knowledge, of coming to know. You, of course, we all know that in the Makot, Hashem keeps saying, V'yad'u ki'ani Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz. The people who didn't know Joseph and didn't want to recognize God, when Pharaoh says, Me, Hashem, lo yadati, I don't know. There's a lot of lack of knowledge. Pharaoh doesn't know Joseph or chooses to forget Joseph and what he did for Egypt. There's a lack of recognition of the power of God. But of course, ultimately, it's the yidi'ah. If you look at the end of chapter 2, and with this we'll close tonight. If you look at the end of chapter 2, after the Jewish people are enslaved, and after Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene, and God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very end of chapter 2, after being absent from the active scene, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu active in chapter 1 or chapter 2. The Bible says, Vayhi Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayhi Vayamim Arabim Ayim Vayamat Melech Mitzrayim, Vayayamchu B'nei So Min Avodah. The Jewish people, the Melech Mitzrayim, the new Melech who came at the beginning of chapter 1 now dies. And the Jewish people cry out to God, Vayizaku Vatal Shavatam Ela Elohim Min Avodah. They cry out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The first time that we see the Jewish people crying out directly to God, Vayishma Elokim et Nakatam. There are four verbs. The Jewish people did four actions. Vayeyanchu b'nei Israel, Vayizaku, Vatal Shavatam Min Avodah. So, excuse me. And the Jewish people, Vayishma Elohim et Nakatam, God hears, Vayizkor Elohim et Brito, et Avraham et Yitzchak v'et Yaakov, Vayar Elohim et Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elohim. And God knows. And he knows. And of course, the word Yidiyah doesn't simply mean intellectual cognition, but it means knowledge, intimate, caring. Va'adam yadat chava ishto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares and is going to once again be involved in history. After the Joseph narrative, where God was again distant and in the shadows, and after that short break where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yaakov, in the experience in Egypt, in Perek Aleph and Bet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more hidden. He appears to Moshe in Perek Gimel, and now Vayeda Elohim. Lo yada et Yosef, Vayeda Elohim. But God knows, and God will know, and ultimately the whole world will know, V'yadu ki ani Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz. Okay, this is the first shiur. We began talking about these first prakim here in Sefer Shmot. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, next week, we will continue our study of the beginning of the redemption as we lead up to Pesach. I want to wish everyone to stay healthy and stay well and continue to takes fortitude, and everyone should have strength and chizuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these difficult times.
Thank you, Rav Nadi. Thank you very much.